Good morning and welcome to BBTV. At the back end of last year, Donald Trump signed off the tax reforms. Now, this is a flagship piece of legislation and it's pretty complex in nature. Today, I'm joined by Simon Duff, one of our TMT analysts at M&G, to talk us through some of the changes. Good morning, Simon.
Good morning, Laura.
So can you tell us about the Tax Act?
Absolutely. The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act has two salient points to it. Firstly, the retained foreign earnings tax rate is going to be cut from 35% to 15.5%. Secondly, domestic earnings are going to be taxed at a lower rate from 35% being reduced down to 21%, whilst upfront tax deductibility on capital investment in fixed assets, tangible assets, what we would call CapEx, is being increased from 50% to 100%.
OK, so that's some fairly significant changes for US corporates then. What are the implications of this?
Well, when it comes to foreign earnings, the facts of the case are thus. US companies have built up pretty titanic cash balances over the last few years in overseas territories. And that's a function of those corporates seeking to avoid 35% tax that they would incur on repatriation of those overseas profits. Current estimates are around about $3 trillion is held by US corporates overseas. The main culprits in this area are the tech companies and the pharmaceutical companies, and that's a function of their strong cash flow generation combined with their multinational operations. Mm-hmm. The poster childs within those two industries really are Apple, who have $252 billion of gross overseas cash, and Johnson & Johnson, who have $41 billion of gross overseas cash. Mm-hmm. As a result of holding all this inaccessible cash overseas, well, the problem for these corporates has been that they have had to fund shareholder returns via incremental debt issuance. Now, if we go to the first slide, Apple is a great example of this. If you look at the top left-hand chart in the slide, you'll see that Apple has had strong free cash flow over the last 6 years. If you look at the top right-hand chart on the slide, you'll see that it's had similarly strong shareholder returns. If you go to the bottom left-hand chart, you'll see, despite those shareholder returns broadly matching that free cash flow, gross cash has inexorably increased. So how do we square this circle? Well, we go down to the bottom right-hand slide, and you see that gross debt has also grown from zero in year-end September 12 up to over $100 billion by year-end September 17. So what are the implications for any of the changes that we were talking about in the tax code? Well, firstly, we think that the first impact is that we will have less incremental debt issuance by these entities. The tax imperative that drove that issuance no longer exists. Secondly, we think that analyst and investor focus will shift from net leverage metrics to gross leverage metrics. And that's based on the fact that people believe that these entities will start utilising that overseas cash. And that's for a combination of M&A, shareholder returns, but also tax payments to the US government. For example, Apple just declared that they will be paying $38 billion to the US government on the back of its overseas cash holdings. If we go to the second slide, we can see that the impact that this will have on the US tech sector. When we look at this slide, you can see that Oracle and Microsoft are the clear outliers. On a net leverage basis, Oracle and Microsoft sit in their peer group range. We're in the middle of that peer group range. However, when we go to a gross basis, we see that Oracle and Microsoft are at the very top end of that range as the most levered entities. Now, that's not to say that we think that Oracle and Microsoft are going to spend all that cash up front. We don't believe that. They could use cash on balance sheet. They could use the cash flow that they now have access to from overseas to pay down some of that gross debt load. But the fact remains that they remain most exposed to this risk of the drift to gross leverage metrics. And on that basis, we think analysts and investors should watch their use of cash very closely.
Mm-hmm. So that's the foreign earnings. We've also got a change in domestic earnings, so from 35% down to 21%, and there's also a change in tax deductibility as well. Could you explain that to us a little bit?
Well, when it comes to domestic earnings, we see the clear winners as the telecom and cable operators. Why? It's a function of the fact that they pay the full 35% rate at the moment. Some industries benefit from specific rebates. Telcos and cable do not. And also the fact that they are highly capital-intensive industries. They have significant capex budgets to fund their network investments, so they will benefit from the upfront tax deductibility issue. As a result of this, we estimate that between $3 to $5 billion of incremental cash flow will become available to AT&T, Verizon and Comcast. And although we think that a significant portion of that cash flow will be directed towards shareholder returns, we also believe that a significant amount will also be directed towards debt reduction. Whilst free cash flow to debt metrics will improve regardless, and for every dollar of debt that's paid down by cash, leverage metrics will also improve.
Absolutely. So it's a pretty big and pretty complex act to pass.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If we look at that third slide, I think you'll find that when we see there, that's the US dollar telco peer group, you'll find that AT&T and Verizon trade materially wide. They're similar rated EU peer group. However, those US operators will be able to benefit from the increase in free cash flow from those tax reforms, and that's not available to the European operators. As a result of that, it's a further support for our overweight view on US telcos.
Okay, thank you very much, Simon. So, looking at this week, we've obviously got US shutdown. We'll be watching that very closely to see how that pans out over the course of the week. Wednesday, we've got Eurozone flash PMI, just giving us an indication of the health of the Euro economy. And also on Friday, we've got US GDP figures coming out. So thanks for watching, and we'll see you next week.